Okay. All right, Rabbi Yisrael, here. Yeah, please. We're in the middle of the sugya yesterday about the obligation to build a wall between these two properties. Now, let's just review how these two properties came to be split and what the halacha is once they are split. So remember, we had two people who own two separate homes, but they're adjacent to each other and they share a backyard. At some point, they decide they want to split the backyard. Now, it could be that the backyard had to be split, meaning unilaterally. One could have demanded the partner split it because if it's big enough for each one of them to enjoy the property, one of them could demand that they split it, so he could have his privacy. That was the Mishnah later on in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. If it's big enough, 8 amos by 8 amos, that each one after a split will get 4 amos by 4 amos, he can demand that his neighbor split his property, even though they agreed at the beginning to jointly own it. Now he could change his mind. Or it could be that we're talking about where it's not big enough, that one could unilaterally demand that the other split the field, but they agreed to split it, even though it's less than that size. Together, they both want to split it. Those are two possibilities. There's a difference, as we're going to see in the Gemara, between the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Basa. We're not into it, but it goes all the way to Gimel and Aleph, about why you have to build a wall. Is it that we're talking about they agreed to split the field, they agreed to build a wall, and that perhaps is implied by the language, Hashutfin Sherotzu Lasos Mechitza. They wanted to make a Mechitza. But really, he didn't have to build a wall, even though each one is watching the other one's property, and while he's sunbathing and hanging out his laundry and playing with his kids, the other guy's watching him, and that inhibits him from enjoying his property to its fullest. It was known as Hezek Re'ia. Hezek Re'ia, Lav Shmei Hezek. And they only have to build a wall if that's what they agree upon. Or it could be that no, Hashutfin Sherotzu Lasos Mechitza means they agreed to split the field. But once they split the field, they have to build a wall. Because Hezek Re'ia is Shmei Hezek. And one person watching somebody else while he's using his backyard property, that's like damaging him. And you have to build a property. They both have to contribute to building a wall because in order to prevent each other from damaging each other, right? So those are the two explanations that the Gemara has in terms of how to understand this Mishnah. Let's assume for the moment, as the Gemara, just two Lashonis in the Gemara, but many assume in the conclusion, Hezek Re'ia Shmei Hezek. That's called damaging. And what they agreed upon here was to split the field, because it was talking about a field that was less than the size that had to be split. But once they split the field, they have to build a wall, because otherwise you're damaging me. And both of them have to contribute to the wall, therefore the wall is built in the middle of their two properties, and the Mishnah goes on to discuss what are the assumptions, what are the regulations in terms of building the wall, and we typically revert to what is the common custom in that location. That's the kind of wall that they have to build in order to prevent a Hezek Re'ia Shmei Hezek. That was what we discussed until now. However, the Achreinim have a classic Chakira at the beginning of this sugya. They want to know the following. Is this wall just to prevent Hezek? I'm not supposed to cause you damages in terms of my animals, other property that perhaps is likely to cause damages. I have to keep it under wraps, right? If you have an animal, you can't allow them to go around goring everybody else. It's part of your obligation as the owner. I can't do anything on my property that would cause damage to your property. It's a whole second perek. I can't plow near my property line in a way that's going to damage yours. So over here, this is harchokos nezikin. I cannot, do something that will cause damage to you, and that's the only reason that we both have to build a wall mutually. Or perhaps, perhaps this is an obligation of neighbors. It's a neighborly obligation. And from the very fact that it doesn't appear in the second perek, where all the other harchokos nezikin appear, that implies that we're dealing with hilchos shchenim, or hilchos shutfim. What will be the difference? So we had an obvious difference right off the bat. We had yesterday between the Rama and the Rashash. They both have to build a wall between the two properties. Does what you pay correspond to the size of your property and what you benefit from the wall? Or do we split the cost equally regardless of the size of the two properties? Meaning, do we say if one guy has 40 acres and one guy has 4 acres, the one with the 40 acres has to pay 10 times more than the one with 4 acres? Or do we not say that? Do we say, no, since you both share this border, right? So we both pay the same. Rabbi says, one guy has a wall right there. These are the two properties. You have one brownstone next to, the Freedom Tower. So they need a wall between them, because otherwise the Freedom Tower is going to look down at the brownstone. The brownstone's going to be afraid of the Freedom, you know, each one. So do we say, look, Freedom Tower gains, you know, so it raises their property value tremendously. The brownstone, a little bit. So do we say, no, well, each one has to pay equally? One guy's got an enormous estate in the Hamptons. The other guy has a little dive bar. So do we say, well, you know, they benefit the same thing? Do we say, well, one benefits more, so he has to pay more? Or do we say, no, you have two people damaging each other. They have to build a wall in order to prevent damages. It has nothing to do with the size of your property. This is not an assessment. We compared it yesterday to, the other side of the chayk. One side of the chayk here is like harchakas nizik, and the other side is it's kind of like everybody who lives in a cooperative society, co-op, condo, whatever it is, has to pay an assessment for things that we mutually benefit from, right? You all have to pay towards the shuffleboard court. And this is what they fight about in the adult communities. You know, who has to pay for the shuffleboard today? So they literally fights about these things. Dine ter about shuffleboard lines. So Lemaise says, do we say everyone has to pay in? You're going to use the garbage. You're going to use the wall. Let's say I have three lots in this adult community, gated community in Florida. Well, then you probably have to pay three times the assessment. I assume, I don't know firsthand, but I assume assessments, you know, it doesn't matter if you own a co-op or a condo. So besides your maintenance, you have to pay assessments. If they decide they want to fix the elevator, everybody who owns, you know, an apartment has to pay towards fixing the elevator. If you pay rent, you get out of all these things. So let's say I own four apartments. Then I have to pay four times the assessment. So should we say the same thing as over here, the wall between the two properties? Like an assessment, a security assessment, a garbage assessment, something, and everybody, depending on your square footage, you have to pay according to your square footage. That's what the Gemara says later on in the Zion base with regards to a wall. Everybody who lives in a city has to pay towards security. You own more square footage, you have more people in your family, you got to pay more. Everything, right, depends on a percentage of what you own. Is that what's going on over here with the two walls, with the wall between the two properties? Or is this just how Chalkas Nezikin, and therefore it shouldn't matter how many people you have in your house? We each are damaging each other, whether I have, you know, one couple that barely is active and one guy's got 15 kids and there's a zoo over there. Each one has to pay the equal amount towards the wall. How should we pass them here? So that was Machlokes, the Rama and the Rashash. The Rama said, it has nothing to do with how many people you have in your house. Harkakas Nezikin, you're damaging him, he's damaging you. That's it. Build a wall between you. Nothing to do with the size of your property or how many people you have. And the Rashash, now the Rashash is not a Rishon, not really a Bar Plugt of the Ramah, but he was probably unaware of the Yad Ramah. We have so many Sfarim now in our times they didn't have. But he says on his own, it's poshut to him, that this is Hilchos Cheinim. This is like people who live in a cooperative, that this is what you have to pay according to, you know, Kol Dofi Yamamin, however many people you have, however much property you have. So we said yesterday that Achrayin improved, Rabbi Chanan has it, Rabbi Baruch Ber has it, Birka Shmuel, that perhaps from the Rosh you see that this is not a halacha of Harchokos Nezikin. This is a halacha of Shcheinim. How do you know? Because the Rosh says, what if one of the parties is Michael to the other one? And then he changes his mind. He says, you know what? One says, I really don't, you know, you're really supposed to build a wall. One says, I would like to build a wall. The other guy says, yeah, I really don't want to build a wall. It's going back and forth. They say, you know what? We agreed we're not going to build a wall. We're mindful to each other. We're not going to build a wall. Later on, one says, you know what? I changed my mind. I want a wall. 15 years later, he wakes up. After he sees the guy buys 5,000 dogs, and he's got a whole zoo over there, and his kids are running rampant, you know, all over his backyard. He says, you know what? That's enough. Shon Genug, I want a wall. He says, you already Michael to me 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You can't wake up now and change your mind. You want a wall? The bank is Michael on a mortgage, amnesty on loans or something. And then all of a sudden, they wake up 15 years later. They say, you know that loan we had with you 15 years ago? We want it now. You can't. What do you mean you want it now? You were Michael already. So you and I had a loan. I'm Michael to you the loan. 100 years later, I want the loan. You were Michael the loan. Once you're Michael money. It's over. You can't get it back now. So do we say this is like money, which you're Michael, an obligation, a monetary obligation, which you're meichel, it's over? Or do we say this like harchakas nezikim? Rabbi said, let's say a guy says, I don't mind if you happen to bang into my car, it's fine. Whatever, who cares? I have an old clunker anyway. I don't care. So at some point later on, can he change his mind? Of course he could change his mind. When we're dealing with nezikim, even though I don't care today, I might care tomorrow. So a mechila at one time has nothing to do with it. A mechila at another time, it's not a financial obligation, it's an easter of nezikim. So I choose not to prosecute. Right, just because we choose not to prosecute certain cases doesn't mean that we don't have the right to prosecute later. So I don't choose to press charges now, but I could choose later on, sometime in the future, to press charges. No such thing as mechila on nezikin that carries forward into the future. So how should we assume over here? with regards to a person who's ma'ikon, this obligation to build a wall. So the Rush says over here, Oizdaud, on the sheet from yesterday, Rabbi said, Perek Alf Simen Bey, says the Rush, if you are ma'ikon once, that's it. You have no more claim to now demand a wall. Shiny haka the tfiyas mama. And this is not like Nezikin. You could choose not to press charges later on in the future. You might choose to press charges. Shiny haka the tfiyas mama yej b'neim. Shinizchayv kolecha chaveru v'sayv v'binin ha'kaisav. I become a shinizchayv l'mano m'chul olam. It's like a guy who owes $1 million and he's Michael. You're Michael. It's over. You have no claim to the money anymore. So too the obligation to build a wall is a monetary obligation. Once you're Michael, you're Michael. This has nothing to do with Nezikin. That's what it sounds like from the Rush. That's what Baruch Be'er interpreted from the Rush. Other Akbarim interpreted. The problem, it's great, fantastic. Okay, so the Rush, we know whose team he's on. He is on the Rashash's team, who assumed it went based on how much property you own, like an assessment. Once you're Michael, if the home ownership is Michael to me, you know, as part of the deal of buying my house, they give me, you know, I don't have to pay assessments, then they're Michael and it's over. You can't change your mind later. If it's Nezikin, yes, you can change your mind. The Rush is clearly putting down his money on the side of the table. You know, that it's a monetary obligation. The problem is, clever, look over here at the Rush, Simen Hay. Three Simanim later, the same Rush, the same Masechta, same Perek. Always above in the Sheifim Yosei, the Rush has two opinions about the following situation. Let's just take a step back. What kind of wall do you have to build? We discussed already. Depends, the Minhag HaMedina, whatever the custom is in that part of the world. If they build thick brick walls with like Herodian stone, well then that's what you have to build. If they build with the bricks like we have, then you build with the bricks like we have. And the walls position equally between the two properties. Half the width is on one side, half the width is on the other side. However, but I ask you, what is the motivation here to build a wall? To enable each one of the parties to use their backyard as they would like. If that is the case, who cares what the wall is made out of? Meaning if this is being motivated by Nezikin, which, you know, the Gemara assumes perhaps it is. It is being motivated by Nezikin. So then that each one is preventing the other from using their property fully, just build a partition, you know, made out of cloth. What do I need these thick walls for? Yeah, why do I need thick walls? Bricks. We're talking about whose property has to have the width of the bricks. Just build it with a screen that enables each one of the people to use their property. Have you hear the question? So I'll tell you, Kevin, you know why? This is not my answer, this is what the Rishonim say. Because what's going to happen? You say, you're a handyman. Anyone here very handy? Anyone here think they're handy? Most people think they're handy, whether they actually are handy. The guy says, the guy's like one of these makeshift, what do they call it? There's an abbreviation for it, do-it-yourself people, DIY or something. One of these guys. So he says to his neighbor, no, don't worry. I got something in my garage. I'll make it work for you. We'll be great. He says, look, you know, the standard in this town, the residential code says we got to build a brick wall. He's like, no, I got it in the backyard. I got it taken care of. Relax. So the other guy can say, no, you know, I'm not interested in your solution. I want what's standard in the residential, what do they call it? You know, the homeowner's code, whatever, the building codes. That's what I want. Why? So Rashba says, because his thing's going to fall down. For sure. The next wind that comes by, it's going to flow down. I don't want to have to bother you. Now I'm going to take you to a din Torah. I'm going to have to wait for you to build it. I don't want that. I want what's standard. Otherwise, we're going to be busy back and forth with Dinei Torah. I don't want to have to take you to court. The din Torah is the worst thing. So look over here. Says the Rashba, Oy Zayin. V'dervish al temahu. Ha'ech natzer kaiso chazik b'dal amas ha'asum v'salik hezek re'iyah. If all we're worried about is hezek re'iyah, why do I need such a thick wall? Make a partition that's made out of nothing. Come up with make it a small little wall. Rashba answers. Where is it? Where is the punchline? So he says, because there's a reason why we have these codes in the city, because this is what it takes for the wall to, you know, stand up to the weather. They have determined, the engineers of the city have determined, you know, based on the soil content and all this, you know, and the thickness of it, that this is what it's going to take to keep the wall in place. Came into Gavoyim, the came into Bibinani Ha'ir, Shem Ksalim Gavoyim, Tzara Chamisha, Hitzrichu B'kach, Afil B'Kaisel Zesha Hezek Riyah. Even just to remove a problem of Hezek Riyah, this is what they required. This is what they required. Because this is what will stand. This is what will stand. The Nemuka Yosef explains it a little bit better. Meaning, not only because this is what will stand, I'm afraid my neighbor's makeshift thing that he makes in his garage is going to fall down. Mugay Yosef explains what the motivation here is. V'tayim ha-dabi'ina sh'yurim g'daylam kokach ha-fapisha enu elu mishum hezek re'iyah omir oizkes mishum de'chashinan shema yipol v'yitztarech le'hiz'atem imo be'bezen. I'm afraid it's going to fall down, as the Rashba said. Less than this, the engineers of the city determine it's going to fall down. And I don't want to have to be busy with you in Bezen. U'beinkach u'beinkach yemaziko v'hezek re'iyah ad'ahochi v'ahochi. You're going to be mazik me, watching me for months, years on end, while we litigate the issue in Beis Din. So therefore, I don't want to start up with you. Minosha, meaning I feel ruts. Okay. Okay. That's why we can build a thick wall. Because I can demand, I don't trust your makeshift thing's going to fall down. So let's go back over here. Rabbi Yisrael, look back at the Rosh, says the following. We have to build a wall between these two properties. What if one of the guys says, you know what, I'm not going to build my makeshift wall on the borderline between our property, half on mine, half on yours. I'm going to build the whole thing on my property, and now you have no claim on me in the first place. See, what happens over here, each one has a claim. You're being mazik me, I'm being mazik you. Say you come to me, you petition for a wall. We both have to pay for it. First mission, Baba Basra, every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows that. You got to pay for the wall. You say, you know what, I'm going to do it my way. You don't want to trust my garage thing, you think it's going to fall down. I'll do it on my property, and now there's no more Hezek Re'iyah. You have no more claim against me. I already fixed the problem on my side of the property. So to build it between us, I understand. You say, I'd rather do it standard in the city, otherwise I think it's going to fall down. I don't want to be in Basin with you forever. The guy says, forget about it. I'll do it all on my property. I trust my efficiency, my knowledge, proficiency in this area. I'll build it on my property. Now you have no time against me. I built the whole thing on my property. So look over here at the Rosh, two opinions. Can you do that? Can I get out of the obligation by building the whole thing on my property and preempting the issue? Yesh Mefarshim says the Rosh, Hadda Kaifi Adali Livnos Kaishal Shagvil Begaz. This, you want to compel me to build a brick wall. Hanudafik Shemamidim Akaisal Karkashal Shneim. That's only if we petition to build it on both of our properties. Ve'ein Echleman writes a Leo, his Kanish Vesayshalo Livnos Vishaloi. But if one wants to go into his own property and remove the Ezekriya on my own terms, must he call Chalamemar? Any right to Levater Karkav Lo Livnos Bebinyan and Lo Bebinyan Bar Kayoma? So then, you're right. If you're building on both of your properties, I could say I don't want to contribute half my property unless you're going to build me a legitimate wall. Your makeshift wall is garbage. I don't want to insult your feelings, but I don't trust you at all. So I don't want to give my property unless it's going to be up to code. One guy wants to come into his property. I'm going to build the whole thing on my property. With the weakest of materials. Since I removed the Hezek Re'iyah from you, you have no more claim. The issue is over. It's solved. I don't have to now contribute to your brick wall, or Jerusalem stone, whatever you have in mind. Oh. But then, Yesh Mefarshim. Four lines down, quotes the Rosh, there are those who disagree. Shafilam Rotzeh Lichnois Vusek Shaloi. One guy wants to build on his own property and remove the whole problem. He can prevent him from doing so. He can say, your wall is going to fall down. I'm still going to be busy and basing with you. See, even if it's on our property line for sure, I can say I don't want to contribute my property unless I'm going to get a real wall out of this. And your makeshift wall is not going to be a real wall. There's a reason we have codes in this town. So he says, fine, I'll build it on my property. Now you have no more claim because there's no more Hezek Re'iyah. He says, no. According to this opinion, the Rosh, he can even say, I don't want you doing it on your property. I still want my brick wall. Because you know what's going to happen? Even though I'm not contributing any of my land towards your wall is going to fall down because you don't know what you're doing. You went to yeshiva, what do you know from engineering a wall? And therefore, I want my brick wall because otherwise I'm still going to have to be busy with you in Bezdin. I'm going to have to yell at you. Because your wall is going to fall down inevitably, and now I'm going to be stuck. So how did the Rosh paskin? So he paskins this way. He paskins like the first opinion. Chazal said, what's motivating the issue here? Hezek Re'iyah. You removed the Hezek Re'iyah because I went into my property, I built my garbage wall out of my stuff that I have in my garage. There's no more problem anymore. There's no more issue. You have no right to demand a wall. Ah, you say your wall, my wall is going to fall down. We're going to end up in Beis Din. No, that's why we have Batei Din. The problem over here is Hezek Re'iyah. This guy removed Hezek Re'iyah. I don't need something that's going to last to be us a Goyal Tzedek. I did something, removes the problem. Now shut up. And if after time it falls down, there are judges in the land, you can go to a Beis Din. So the Rosh Pas in Schevra. We have two properties next to each other. They normally would have to build a wall between them, each one giving half their property according to the code of the town, the code committing a Medina based on thick bricks. One guy says, you know what, I have my stuff in my garage, I'm going to build on my property. Leave me alone. I'm going to build cheap, you want to build fancy, I'll do over here like this. The Rosh holds he can do that. Because the only obligation to build a wall is Hezek Re'iyah. I removed the Hezek Re'iyah on my own terms. Gavalik. What's the problem? It's two opinions in the Rush. The other guy says, nah, I'm afraid your wall's going to fall down and then I'm going to be left with nothing. The Rush says, nah, who cares about you? Yeah, when it falls down, you'll deal with it. The problem is the Rush here is now saying just the opposite of what the Rush said before. The Rush here is taking a different side in the Chakira. What is motivating us to build this wall? Hezek Re'iyah, or because we have two people as part of a partnership, part of a co-op, everyone's got to pay in to the wall that goes between them. So you got to pay in. Now, if it's an obligation, I can't go to my co-op if they want to update the elevators and say, I'll take care of it on my own time for my garage. You know, I'm not giving my assessment. I'll help out the contractor. You can't do that. They're redoing the sidewalk in front of the building, in front of the shuffleboard. So I say, I'll do it on my Sunday. I'll take care of it. I'm not going to pay the assessment. You can't do that. You have to pay the assessment. So you have to, of course you have to pay the assessment. So what good is it that the guy says, I'm going to get rid of the Hezek Re'iyah problem by building stuff in my garage between our two properties? Because the Rosh says you remove the Hezek Re'iyah. No, but this is a property assessment. And how do I know the Rosh holds it's a property assessment? How do I know that? Because he says if one of them is merkel to the other one, so then you can't renege on that mechila. You can't say, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't accept your mechila. You know, I don't accept. I'm not merkel to you anymore. I want it back. You can't do that. This is a monetary obligation. Once you're merkel, you're merkel. Isn't that nezikin that I choose not to press charges later on? I can choose to change my mind. This is a monetary obligation. If that's the case, how can the Rush say that if I solved it on my own terms, that's a greater problem, I don't have to pay? It's a monetary obligation. You got to pay for garbage. You can't say, I'm going to burn my garbage like they do in Israel. I'm not paying for garbage. You can't do that. I mean, they still let you do that in Israel, burn garbage. You know what I'm talking about? They still do it. Friday, yours used to smell burning garbage everywhere. At least my issue used to burn the garbage everywhere. You can't do that. You got to pay. So how could the Rush over here? I could build on my own terms. I could build the wall and get out of paying. That's a kasha stira. Everyone asks in the Rush. So the Achrayim say in the Rush like this. Rav Nachum has this. Rav Asher Weiss has this. Minchas Asher. That's why I asked you to see it. They say like this. Gevaldik. They say, no. Come on. So let's be simple. Let's not be so lomdish. Of course, this is motivated by Hezek Re'iyah. One person is viewing someone else as using their property and it's going to damage, you know. So he's going to inhibit it from using his property. So let's call that Hezek Re'iyah. And maybe Shmei Hezek. Well, there's an argument to be made that just because someone's watching me, that's not really Hezek. I'm not being damaged just because someone's watching me. You know, particularly in our times, everyone puts on every social media platform every time they blow their nose. We don't like privacy. Adarav, I want more people to watch me. But okay. Times of Gemara, they were into privacy. So I could say, no, it's not really Hezek. Well, let's assume it is Hezek. Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. I could demand that you build a wall. It's motivated by Hezek. Therefore, the Rush says, you remove the problem of Hezek. I build it on my own terms with my stuff in my garage. I don't have to pay to build a wall between us and give my property for it. I'll do it all on my own terms. It's fine. It was motivated by Hezek Re'iyah. But once Chazal established it, they established it as a monetary obligation. It's no longer just because of Hezek Re'iyah. It was motivated by Hezek Re'iyah, but it is not, and therefore if I remove the motivation because I built the wall already, it never gets off the ground. But when it was legislated by Chazal, not based on Hezek Re'iyah, but based on a financial assessment. So if one of them is meichel to the other, he can no longer renege. Why do I need both components here? If I have hezek re'ia, what do I need the financial assessment component? So here Rav Nachum explains, gevalmik. Rav Nachum says like this, Rav Nachum Pertzavis, the Rosh Yeshiva from Namir. So he says like this, chevra. Because these two people were sharing this field forever. 40 years. Their grandparents shared this field from the Alpahim. And now all of a sudden they want to split the field. And you are, hezek re'ia. What are you talking about? We saw your bubby going sunbathing over here. We saw your mother's son. All of a sudden you care so much. How can you call this hezek re'ia? They shared the field for decades. This is not two neighbors, you know, who we could say the whole story is lock, stock, and barrel, hezek re'ia. It's not really a classic case of hezek re'ia because these two people jointly owned the property, then decided to go their separate ways. So to now all of a sudden taina hezek re'ia doesn't make a lot of sense. So we needed, Dafka in this case only, the first mission over here where they jointly owned the field, then they decided to split it. It wasn't enough with hezek re'ia. We had to convert it into a financial assessment. Because otherwise, you could really say, what kind of hezek re'ia is there? You were sharing the field until now and it didn't bother you. If they never owned the field together, you know, the backyard, or one guy has a balcony overlooking the other one, maybe all that is hezek re'ia. There is no financial assessment, and the guy, you know, and if one guy, would be meichel, the other guy, he could change his mind. Because that is damages that I refuse, that I choose not to press charges. At some point later on, I might choose to press charges. But here, they had to convert it to a financial obligation because there was no hezek re'ia in the first place. So let's read Rav Nachum. I'll get to your question exactly in a second. Look over here, Ois Tes, says Rav Nachum. Of his engineer, the Hagam Shadin Hezek Re'ia, never Bechol Shcheinim. Of course, it's Hezek Re'ia by all neighbors. Mikomokom Shutvin Shachoku. The fact that they were partners and then split it, Garu Mishcheinim Da'alma. That's different than regular neighbors. Ubeloishen Ischadish Din Mechudosh Mehilcha Shutvin. We're not for the fact that we made it into an assessment like partners, Loishayach Lechayvim Lasas Mechitza. We can't make it make them build a wall. Before they built the wall, we were all being damaged and no one cared. And came Gamla Akashakoku, Wesley Zakhus Lutvoya Hezek Re'ia. To now all of a sudden claim Hezek Re'ia Zemizeh, where they were sharing it for decades, doesn't make a lot of sense. The Chaser Kamoishahi, Hayaba Hezek Re'ia. This was the way you bought the property. Decades ago, for generations, and all of a sudden you're claiming, when we split it, we understood we were taking something with hezek re'ia. We jointly owned it, and when we bought it, we understood that this was part of the deal. So yes, it's motivated by hezek re'ia, but this is not the classic case of hezek re'ia. They had to add a second layer when they legislated it as halacha of shutfin. So therefore, the Rush can say both. He can say, when you remove the hezek re'ia, the whole halacha falls away. You don't have to build a wall. I built it with stuff in my garage. No more problem anymore. I solved it on my own, and I have the right to do that. Even though you can't do that when it comes to an assessment in your building, I'll say, I'll pour the cement myself. I'm not paying. Can't do that. But at the same time, the Rush understands, even though it's all motivated by hezek re'ia, if I remove the problem, I don't have to pay for the wall. At the same time, it is really a financial obligation. If one is meichel to the other, he can no longer back out on the mechiga. This is somewhat different. This is not a classic case of hezek re'ia. Classic case of hezek re'ia, mechiga wouldn't make any sense. Because this, I'm not practicing. It's like a guy banging my car. I don't care until I do care. Then I have the right to care. Right? I decide to press charges. So you have the right to do that. So too, by hezek re'ia, you have the right to press charges, even though I was initially meichel. This is not a classic case of hezek re'ia. Because since we used to own it together, they had to introduce a second layer here, a second dimension, that of Hilchos Shutfus. Chaim, you here? Jack, you want to ask a question? You got it? So based on this explanation, Rav Nachum and Rav Osher both explain a comment of the Ra'ah. We'll say the same character. Chaim, this is classic rate. But says the Nemukah Yosef over here, Oisches, quotes from a Ra'ah. We discussed, what if a guy says, I'm going to build a makeshift wall on my side of the property with a stuff in my garage? Okay. What if the guy says just the opposite? The law here is to build with, I don't know what the brown, what are these kinds of bricks called? These brown bricks. There must be a name for them. I say, I don't want to build with those mud bricks. I want Jerusalem stone. You say, Jerusalem stone, dude, I'm not building with Jerusalem stone. That's beyond, I want marble. I want a bunker because who knows what's coming, apocalypse. So, you know, whatever. So the guy says, I want that. The guy says, I'm not doing that with you. I'm willing to do this, but I'm not doing that with you. So the guy says, forget it. I'm going to build on my side of the property, reinforced steel bunker, and I'm not paying for your bricks. So just the opposite. Not that I'm using stuff in my garage. I'm going to build mine with reinforced cement. I'm not paying for your brick wall somewhere in the middle, right? The Ikerdin is you're supposed to build a brick wall, Kamina Kamadina, in between our two properties. I'm in a half of mine, and I'm in a half of yours. I said, I don't want that. I'm going to build on my side a brick wall, not from the garage. Now, see, from the garage, the other guy could argue, look, your thing is going to fall down. I don't want to be busy with you in Beis Din. So there were those who disagreed with the Rosh, and they said, even though you're going to build it on your side and remove the Hezekiah, I don't want to be busy. Your thing is going to fall down the next time. It's a huff, puff, and blow. You know, I don't want to be busy with it. Ida comes. I don't want this. So he says, forget it. It's going to fall down. I don't want to be busy with you in Beis Din. The guy says, no, I'll do you better. I'm going to build on my property. I don't want to involve you at all. But I'm going to use reinforced concrete and cement. There's no way this thing is falling down. Can he do that? Should everyone agree there that that should be okay? And now I can't demand the brick wall in between the two of us? Why not? Right? What are you being so difficult for? So look, Dara, it's so difficult. Dara says, no. I want a wall that I can lean on. My kids want to use their Crayola chalk on the wall to play hopscotch or whatever. I want a wall. If the walls are on your property, I don't have a wall to lean on. Says the Ra'ah. Ra'ah Moshe Badvar. Look over here. This guy's third line. I'm going to build a huge brick wall without you. I can force you to build a wall with me. I won't have rishus to lean on it. And even if he says, you can draw on it with all the chalk you like. No, that's not good enough for me. I don't want your presents. I don't want your gifts. I want it. I want my own. You have the right to do that. Sounds like a strange svara. The problem is the Rama quotes it. Look over here. The Rama says, the minig is to use the cheap stuff, just brick over here, cheap. I'm going to make it reinforce cement on my own property. I can be ma'akev you, and we have to build with the cheap bricks. Why? So you could have a wall to lean on? This whole thing is because of Hezekiah. What do you get a wall to lean on? I want a lot of things. I want a helicopter. What does that have to do with the wall? So look at the Taz. The Taz asks in their odds. This makes no sense. Who told you you're entitled to a wall to lean on? Where did you get this image in your mind that you're zeiche to a wall to lean on? So you should have the right to lean on a wall. Who told you you're entitled to such a thing? The whole thing is because of Hezekiah. So yes, a cheap wall. I could say, come on, you're going to build a cheap wall. It's going to fall down. Tomorrow I'm going to be with you in court. I don't want to be with you in court. Build the brick wall like we agreed. Those were the two, opinions in the rush. The rush goes even further and says, no, your wall's not going to fall down, but I want a wall to lean on to play stickball. Who told you you're entitled to that? Just because of Hezekiah. So both Rav Asher and Rav Nachum both explain, yes, it was motivated by Hezekiah. But when they legislated it as an assessment. Because these two people used to own the property together. To speak of Hezekiah is really not the classical setting of Hezekiah. They were watching each other for decades and no one cared. So yes, there is a time of Hezekiah, but not the same as we have in other settings where you're watching me from a balcony that we never owned any property together at all. This was Hashutfin. They were partners. Now you split it. That's not the classical case. Here we needed a second layer, a second dimension. So it's Dafka here that the Ra'ah argues, when they legislated this, they legislated as an assessment. I have the right to say, that this is not just because of Hezekiah. And even though you're talking to Hezekiah on your own terms, I am entitled to a wall. I want my wall. So over here, it's somewhat not just Hezekiah. There's another dimension here. Dimension of Shutfin, the dimension of an assessment, a communal obligation that you have to pay to these neighbors. And therefore, I could demand my wall that I could be able to use. Not because you're giving it to me. You're now every time I see you, you're going to say, "Ah, you like my wall? Happy, I let you use my wall. I don't need that. What do I need to owe you anything for?" So I get the demand. I want my own wall. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi. So now we have to move on to Taisvis de Ramasu Lefichach. We'll start Taisvis. I still have to finish it later. This Taisvis is this big and scary Taisvis. Just because it brings in a lot of different Gemaras. But it's actually a quite simple Taisvis. There's a skill when learning Taisvis, not just words and grammar, all those things are important for learning Taisvis. But I'm going to teach you, maybe you know this already, picked it up intuitively. The best way to learn how to learn is by learning. You know how many times I've seen classes on methodology, where we talk about learning. It's like talking about baseball and never playing baseball. You don't learn how to swing a bat that way. I could give you a million lectures on how to swing a bat, and you'd still be terrible at it. I'm terrible at it. So you have to get it. You have to do it. You need a little help along the way. But if you just talk about learning, it doesn't work. You have to learn. You have to immerse. That's how you learn. Right? Word sheets only will get you so far. Even with this Talmud Obiyada, which is fantastic. My gosh. But I wish we had that in our time. But yeah. So you need to just dive in. But there's one skill over here. I'll teach you a trick. Taisvis, they're not have footnotes. If Taisvis had footnotes, it would be a lot easier to learn Taisvis. So Taisvis does not have footnotes. Taisvis a lot of times has tangential comments. Those tangential comments contribute to the larger discussion, just like footnotes do. But you can do without them. Meaning Taisvis will say, and if you would be bothered, I wasn't bothered with that. But if you would be bothered with that, because I don't know Gan Shas, Taisvis, the Rishonim are playing with Shas like we play with fidget spinner. That was how they held Shas. So Taisvis is saying, I know what you're going to ask. I wasn't going to ask that, you know. But I know you're going to ask me from this. This is the answer. I know you're going to ask me from this. This is the answer. So ask Akasha. He'll say, what about this? So then Taisvis say, don't say this. Don't say, I wasn't going to say those things. But if you were, Taisvis solves the problem for you. But it could be 15 lines later. And you're like, what happened to the original Akasha? I'm totally lost. So a lot of times Taisvis does that. You know, you can solve the problem with a pen. If you box out the tangential comments of Taisvis, now it's hard to know what's tangential and what's not tangential. That requires experience. But a lot of times Taisvis has something that's tangential. Now, that doesn't mean it's entirely tangential. It probably does contribute to the larger discussion. That's why Taisvis brought it up. It is a good kasha if Taisvis asks it. So it is important, but not necessarily essential to the discussion. Okay, so let's look over here. I'll show you what I mean. Look at Taisvis. Taisvis asks the question the following. The Mishnah says, we have an obligation to build a wall between our two properties. Says the Mishnah, Lefichach. Lefichach is one of the most important words in all of learning. Kishem, just like, and Lefichach. Lefichach means therefore. That means what I'm about to say follows logically from what I just said. That's a really lumdish statement. So Lefichach, because they're both obligated to build a wall, if the wall falls down, the bricks belong to both of them, as does the location, you know, underneath the wall. Lefichach, since they're both obligated to build a wall, so first Taisa Kash on the second line of Taisis, V'im Toimar. Why is it that the bricks and the place belong to two of them only because they both have to build a wall together? My iri mishum the bainim hakoiso bal karcham. Why is that the reason you have to split the bricks and the location? It should have been split anyway. Balav hakinami habishol shneim. It had to belong to both of them. Afilu, and even if it fell, l'reshusa d'chad minoyu, the wall, typically things don't fall exactly where they stand. They usually fall to one side or the other side. Even if it falls to one side, kevan de'ein chazis, loy lazeh, b'loy lazeh, since there's no indication that the wall belonged to one or the other, I should probably assume that it belongs to two of them. Chazis was a simon that they would put on the top of the wall that was, if you built a brick wall, and there was a little lip that went this way, that means this guy built a wall. If there was a little lip that went that way, I mean that guy built a wall. The Mishnah has this rule. So there was no simon that the wall belonged to either one of them in particular. Okay, so then the wall belongs to both of them. Why is it a function of the fact that they both have to build a wall, that if the wall falls down, the bricks and the place belong to both of them? Either way, we would have said it belongs to both of them. Even if they both didn't have to build a wall, you know why? There was no indication that the wall belonged more to this guy than it belonged to you, or that it belonged to you more than to this guy. That's Taisa's question. Taisus goes on a detour. He comes back, though, to the Teretz. Skip down. We'll get the detours aren't important. Skip down to Umitare Tzri. The rest is all tangential. Important. We're going to talk about it. But tangential. Umitare Tzri. That's exactly what the Gemara asks. Rabbi say, turn later on. To Daf Dalet and Aleph. To the two dots. The Gemara says, Lefichach, enough of Kaisel, Hamakim, Vavanim, Shoshneim. Therefore, if the wall falls down, since they both have to build it, the pieces and the place belong to both of them. Pshita! That's obvious! So Mar says, Lo Tzricha, no, it's needed. The Nafu or Shusa the Chalminai will fell into the property of one of them and not the other. So I might have thought, Mao de Tema, Nahave Ida, Hamaitzi Mechaveh all of Araya. You want to prove that the wall is yours? You come and prove that the wall is yours, Hamash Malon. That's not the case. Taisa says, "Mitarji the Hainu Hakta Parfi Gemara Pshita." Isn't this obvious? Meaning, there's no indication that the wall belongs to either one or the other. But 1 minute, Taisa says, even if it falls all to one person's property, that's obvious. Because the Pirush Bekuntres that Filo Pasuk on Dina the Masnis and Shemitchila Bein Shnei Masua Bal Karkam Hayu Chalkam Mishava. But the Gemara says, "No, it comes to teach me. Even if it fell into the reshus of one of them, the other guy doesn't have to prove that it's his because they're obligated to build it together. Of course." They both built it together, belongs to both of them. Taisus would hold that's obvious too, because there's no indication necessarily that it belongs to one or the other. Of course the wall is going to fall onto someone's property. It doesn't mean that it's yours. It doesn't mean that it's yours. So it's obvious too. So Taisus says, no. What we're talking about is a situation where the guy left the bricks there forever. Rabbi said, when you become neighbors, you learn about people. You learn about people. If you get involved with them in business, then you really see who people are. Or if you drive carpool. Carpool is mamish. Nichnas carpool yotzasoid. See who people are. I can't tell you how many stories I've had with that, but it started when we had a carpool to yeshiva. We used to have a carpool from Queens. Hayoga carpool. Andy Yudin used to be in the carpool. Eliyahu Wolf, if you know him from yeshiva, young Israel Woodmill was in the carpool. Josh Flug, if you know who that is, was in the carpool. All together. Rabbi Yaakov Haber, very chash of a carpool we used to have. Rabbi Itamar Rosenzweig on his way to MTA. He was amazing. He was holding cup. We were all in the Kohelion. He was ninth grade or something. Anyway, he was good then too. Yeah. So anyway, you see who people are. Stories already back to then. You see who people are. All these are tzaddikim. You say, we had other people in the carpool too. You see what a carpool is. Anyway, another time you see who people are is when you have neighbors. I'd say the wall falls down. The guy leaves it there for deiris. Then he wakes up later on. The wall fell down. He's not doing anything. It's sitting there. Then, of course, you move it. Oh, what are you moving my wall for? It's your wall. It's been sitting there for years. There's moss growing on it. It's your wall. The guy claimed it's his wall. So even though he left it there forever, Taisa says, that's what it means. Enough for Rishus of the Chaminayu. Not that it fell into your property. The fact that it fell into your property doesn't mean anything. It wants to fall somewhere, and there was no indication on the wall that beforehand that it was yours. So that's all pshita. That's obvious. What the Gemara means is that you left it there forever, beyond what is reasonable. Why would you do that? Because that's the way neighbors act. So you left it there forever, beyond what is reasonable, but you never relinquished your tying it to the wall. The minute I move it, you care. What are you touching my wall for? This belongs to both of us. So look over here. It says, Taisus, Tari Tzri, the Hainu Hafta Parach Begamar Pshita. That's obvious. Good Pirish Bekuntris. Da Filo Pasik on Dien de Masis from Mitchio Ben Shnei Masu about Karkam Hayu Chokam Beshave. Va Filo de Nafu Shutz of the Chaminayu, even if it fell into a Shutz of one, that's obvious. Why Tzricha? The Gemara says, no, we needed this. Why? You needed to say the Ficha. It's only because they have to build it together. We assume that it's both of theirs because we're talking about a situation. You left it there forever. Then I say, I can wake up later on and say, no, the whole thing is mine. No, we don't believe you. Even though it was there forever, you have no right to say that it's all yours because since you had to build it together, you probably did build it together. So even if the guy, that's the Lufika, since you had to build it together, it probably is both of yours, even if it was sitting there with Deiris for 100 years. Later on, a grandchild wakes up and wants to move it, the grandchild can say, no, it belongs to both of us. We would assume it still belongs to both of you, because since you had to build it together, you probably did build it together. That's what the Mishnah, you know, that's why the Mishnah had to say Lofichach. So Rabbi said, why do we have to say Lofichach? I just gave you the Kash of Tosis, the Teretz of Tosis, in 30 seconds. More than 30 seconds, but you know. There's not so much. There's other detours here. We're going to have to get to the detours the next time. But Akitza Maisa, what Tosis says is, why do I have to say Lofichach? Since you had to build a wall, it probably belongs to both of you. Even if it fell down into one guy's property, that's obvious. Now we're talking about you left it there forever. Beyond what's reasonable. Neighbors aren't so mocked with each other, but there's a yesh gvul. There's a line in the sand. How long am I going to be mine or not care that your garbage is sitting on my property? So then, if it's sitting there that long, maybe it is mine. The Gemara says, no. Since you had to build it together, you probably did build it together, and it belongs to both of you. We'll have to miss them, get to the next time, the detour. Maybe we'll do Hilchos Rosh Hashanah tomorrow, though. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah is coming up, yeah? Okay, Chevron, I apologize for the change in schedule.